Fab Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Rashad Johnson's going to jump on the show with us today, the former Arizona Cardinal. He's gone to Tennessee. We're working on a couple other things as well on today's show in the way of guests. It's one of those shows where who knows what's going to happen. I'm fine with that. We don't sit here and script it out. We don't have these big, long meetings. I'm going to say this. You say that. We're going to disagree about this. No. This is one of those. This is my favorite type of show because I've got Jordan here today. Eric decided to take another day off. Jordan, did you get the same sort of agreement? I forget what we agreed to in the way of days off.
It was not that.
Yeah. I mean,
Eric leveraged you.
Eric leveraged me. Eric, I don't know. We're not even to April yet, and Eric's been off. I think he's been off 13 days out of the year.
Must
14
be nice.
Days. Something like, it's got to be double digits, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I don't mind you here. It's just you're never here.
Right.
You know, you have these things that come up in your world. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice to see you drop in every now and then.
Yeah.
It makes us feel important that you're here.
Like to put you high on the priority list.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Oh, gosh. Do we have the stuff from Jared? Do we have that stuff
yet?
We
are collecting it right now.
We're collecting it? Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Jared's going to get crushed on today's show. It's one of those shows where, too, some stuff popped up on the internet last night of one of our guys. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't police blotter stuff. It wasn't 2 a.m. at a pizza joint in Scottsdale having to be separated and put into a car and driven away. It wasn't one of those deals. But some stuff showed up last night online that, we just have to crush one of our own. I don't want to get into the concussion stuff on every show, but when the owner of the Indianapolis Colts compares the risk of football to taking an aspirin, how can you not just look at that and say, man, you guys just don't have your bleep together. Gosh. John Mara was noble before the NFL meetings about the concern and the rise and the numbers of concussions. And then Jerry Jones just kind of poo-pooed it at the meetings. And you have Jim Irsay. You can't script this stuff. I mean, you have to think the people in the league offices are like, they're going to look like me up here before it's all said and done. Had a lot of feedback yesterday off of Bruce Arians in the comments of that I had. And they're from last week of defending the game. And quite a few of you weighed in on an email side of things. And it's fine. It's fine. It's Brad at sports360az.com. Okay. It's very simple. Or on Twitter. And the line about parents who don't let their kids go out and play the game, and my stance that I thought the coach went over the line on that, that's still resonating with me. It really is. Because the concussion stuff... Dale Earnhardt Jr., by the way, Dale Earnhardt Jr. announced this morning that he's going to donate his brain to concussion research. So it's another big name that's out there. I don't know. I'll just give my brain away. No, it's a really, really big deal that the New York Times equated big tobacco and concussion last week with the NFL. It's a really big deal. I watched the Suns last night. As negative... I shouldn't say negative. As truthful as I've been about the Suns this year, it's not being negative. It's being truthful. They aren't good. Yet, about halfway through the season, when you watch objectively and you don't have your purple and orange glasses on, you watch objectively and you see the growth of Devin Booker. And last night, it was a game they lost. Their defense was horrible. When you allow someone to shoot 50% from the floor, you're going to lose. And the Suns did that, and they're not good defensively. But I watched Devin Booker again last night. And sure, it's two who cares teams, the T-Wolves and the Suns. Some of you care about the Suns at this point. I'm just done with 6 years in a row of being stuck in the ditch and missing the playoffs. But I have to find silver linings. And Devin Booker clearly is a silver lining. I'm a little worried that we're going to get this whole narrative about all is well, we figured ourselves out, we bottomed out, we have this core nucleus that we've put together and that we're going to get it all figured out and turned around. And I would say, no, hold on a minute. You have Devin Booker and that's it. That's it. We don't know what's going to happen with the coach. We don't know what's going to happen with the front office. We believe since Lon Babbie completely disappeared, since Lon has completely disappeared from the face of the planet since about the end of January, which he should have disappeared, I don't know, like four Januaries ago. Who knows what he's doing, but I'm sure he's still on the payroll. We have yet to get the he's no longer with us in the front office or any capacity with the team. And until that happens, I'm going to be skeptical because he's been a big problem. And we don't know where they're going to land in the lottery. And as I watch March Madness, like Jordy, have you watched Carolina enough in the tournament? Have you seen enough of Carolina?
I've seen a little bit of them, yeah.
So you like Johnson?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we're looking at a guy that should be a double-double, right? Like the toughness level inside of the Suns, because they're not going to get the number one or number two pick in all likelihood.
Right.
Okay. So Ingram and Simmons, I don't see them coming here, unfortunately. I would love to see Ben Ingram here. I would love to see it. Because he might weigh 195 by the time he gets, you know, he's like this, you pour tomato juice in him, turn him sideways, he's a thermometer. You know, he's one of those guys, he's so skinny. But I'm watching Johnson play, and I don't think Buddy Hield, I mean, if you take Buddy Hield and you put him alongside of Devin Booker, does that work for you?
That seems like the Suns' point guard experiment, but just now shooting guards.
Yeah,
you know, they that's not their weakness.
Right, and they still have, they still have Bledsoe coming back next year, and they have Brandon Knight.
Right.
So not that those guys are the end-all of end-alls. They may try to tell us they are, but I don't know. When you have three knee surgeries, I'm not going to count on you to come back and be the great one. So I can't get my arms around Buddy Hield coming here. So I'm starting to look at front court guys.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. As I'm watching this weekend and the games coming up, I think you got to look at North Carolina and look at Johnson. I think he may be that guy. So there's that that's on my mind. We'll get more on the Final Four stuff in a minute. We have the Jared stuff?
We do.
All right. So yesterday, last night, I'm doing my thing, doing some show prep. It's about 9:30 at night. And this picture showed up on Twitter last night. Now, it's embarrassing to think that somebody would wear shorts that low to begin with.
Oh, but that was the style.
That was that the mine were really tight. I mean, I guess if we were to put ours side by side. So there's Jared. He's not doing the recruiting roundup there. He's doing I'm a stud. I wonder why he wore number 12. Does he have like a – there was not a good number 12 in the Suns back in the day.
I don't think so.
I don't think – yeah. I don't – in fact, I can't think of a good number – guys, who's the best number 12? So this showed up last night and some other stuff of him. He got ratted out by one of his high school coaches. So that was entertaining last night. On the baseball side, Robbie Ray was named the fifth starter by the Diamondbacks. I have no problems with it. In fact, as this camp has gone on, doesn't it feel like that we have a level of competence and confidence in an organization that we just haven't had in a long, long time? I mean, think about it. The Tony La Russa, Dave Stewart, Chip Hale, okay? Put those three together, and in a year's time, they've weeded out guys. They've gotten rid of bad contracts. They have found a way to lure one of the top players in the game to come to Arizona. And so as we start this season, how can you not be optimistic? I know that there are some that think that this year's edition of the Arizona Diamondbacks is nothing more than the San Diego Padres from last year. I know that that is out there, that they throw a lot of money. Except the problem is the Diamondbacks threw a lot of money at one guy. They gave up quite a bit for Shelby Miller. Okay. And Shelby Miller, you could make the argument, is the X factor in this year's team. If Shelby Miller goes out and wins 18, 20 games alongside of Greinke, they're going to be in really good shape. If he goes out and goes 11 and 10, you know, in this division, I don't know if it's Pat Corbin that's got to be the guy to go get the 17, 18 wins. I have no problem with Robbie Ray as a fifth starter. Robbie Ray as a fifth starter, go out and win me 10, 12 games this year. Go win me 12 games. We're not asking for anything over the top out of Robbie Ray. In fact, De La Rosa's gotten knocked around the last couple times. And it makes you wonder as you look at De La Rosa and say, okay, what is he really going to be? Is he really going to be somebody with electric stuff that frustrates the heck out of you? Because I don't think I'm going to be frustrated with Greinke. I don't think I'm going to be frustrated with Corbin. I'm not sure yet about Shelby Miller because the price tag, I might be frustrated with him. I might be. But if you look at the five guys in the rotation, I think De La Rosa is the one that you may be looking at saying, is he ever going to get it figured out? But man, what a transformation of this franchise. We'll get into it next week with opening day and Pedro tomorrow. What a transformation of a franchise. A year ago, we had guys like Mark Trumbo and Aaron Hill still here. They weren't bad guys. They just had big numbers, big contracts, and they weren't going to go anywhere with them.
And with last year's rotation, it was Kolmenter, De La Rosa, Hellickson, Chase Anderson, and Archie Bradley. Those were your first five starters.
And you could make the argument, Jordan, that those were – you could make the argument that all those guys were fours and fives.
Right.
In fact, they are.
Yeah.
Right?
De La Rosa has slid back to that role, and Archie Bradley's a minor leaguer currently, and yeah.
I don't think Archie's going to be here. I think Archie's – for some reason, I get the feeling over there that Archie's going to be a – player as part of a bigger deal at some point. We're going to give you this hot prospect along with, and I think he's going to be a guy that says, I need a change of scenery. He's going to be one of those guys. I'm not talking badly about him. Some guys feel that way. Trevor Bauer felt that way. He needed a change of scenery. He got out of here and went over to Cleveland. It's just frustrating that you had a couple of high first-round picks, and it appears to me as we sit here right now, and I could be flat wrong on this, it appears to me as we sit here right now that both those guys will never, well, one of them's already out here, but they'll never come to what they should have been. When you have a franchise that has two players taken that high, you shouldn't miss on both of them. They're just, I mean, missing on one is bad enough, but you miss on two after all the buildup. And we've also seen with this franchise that they are trading away picks. They're not hanging on to their picks, so that wouldn't surprise me. So anyways, Robbie Ray named the fifth starter. There's some good news on that front. The story of the day, to me, and it's just me, I'll get over to Carmel in a bit, but the story of the day to me is what happened last night, and it's not the main story. What happened last night with Carmelo Anthony, those of you that watched through the years, I'm just not big on his game. You can put up all the numbers you want and say he's a great this, he's a great that. Jacks up way too many shots for me. There's always seems to be something going on around him. I don't know if it's because he's in New York and he's just in the news cycle a lot for not doing much of anything. But last night, this kid that runs out on the floor during the game to give Carmelo Anthony a hug. I think we have a picture of it. Do we have that? Here's the moment. There's the kid. So a little boy, not knowing any better, runs out on the floor. Now, I don't know and I just saw it. Did they throw the kid out? They shouldn't have thrown the kid out. But here's the problem. It's a good moment. It's a sweet moment. It is a security issue. There's no question about it. When you have a youngster who runs right out onto the floor and nobody stopped him, and he just was a kid that was excited to be around Carmelo Anthony. And Carmelo said afterwards, I was shocked. I didn't really know who it was until I actually looked over and saw that it was a kid. The boy ran onto the court during a stoppage in play with the Knicks on the offensive end. Then he raced back off the court and was turned around by the official Kevin Cutler, chief of arena security for the Smoothie King Center. Where are we tonight? We're at the Smoothie King Center. Of course we are. Declined to comment on the incident. It was not immediately clear if the boy or his guardian were cited in any way or removed from the arena. In New York City, the so-called Calvin Klein law subjects those who walk onto the court during a game to arrests and fines. Law was passed in 2003 after fashion designer Calvin Klein walked onto the court of Madison Square Garden, attempted to chat with Knicks player Latrell Sprewell. I think it was because he was a little kid. They just let him go. Definitely a security issue, though, for sure. The boy ran into the stands, up the stairs, past an apparent female guardian who looked embarrassed, appeared to usher him towards the exits. Son, let's go. But you'd like to know what that little boy is going through, where his hero is out on the floor and he just was so enamored and in love with him that he wanted to run out onto the court and give him a hug during the game, not knowing any better. And if that little boy has leaders in his life, it's the old Charles thing. I am not a role model. Well, you know, to some kids, they don't have anybody else. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Rashad Johnson's going to join us in a little bit, working on a couple other things as well as we continue on a busy Tuesday. Stay with us. This is a big day in the sports world in our country, and you may be thinking, Brad, it's late March, it's a Tuesday, the Suns don't play tonight, the Coyotes, they don't play, the NFL draft is a month away, spring training, those games don't matter. No, tonight is a big night. Those of you that have watched me through the years, or if you're just joining us, you must know that I am passionate about what goes on in soccer. And the United States World Cup soccer team plays tonight. In fact, I watched them on Saturday night after the March Madness was done. I watched them completely embarrass our country in losing to Guatemala. And they play again tonight. The result was 2-0, and the second goal was about as embarrassing a performance as I've seen out of a United States team. So they play tonight in Columbus. And if you're the United States and you miss the World Cup, those of you that follow sports, doesn't matter what your passion in sports is, but if you follow sports, there are things like the Olympic Games that come along this August that will have everybody's attention. And there are things like the World Cup when they do come along that will have the world's attention as well. And if the United States is not in the World Cup, not the men's team in particular, if the men's team, no offense to the women's team, but the men's team, that's the backbone of U.S. soccer. If they are not in the World Cup, if they lose again tonight, and they're really up against it, they lose tonight, it would be the biggest disgrace in our country in sports. I don't know in how many years or what I could go back to and point towards, especially if you lose to a country like Guatemala. Last time I checked, they were ranked like 49th, 50th in the world. And the way that they played in the game, in the match on Saturday night, and the way that they look so disorganized, and the national voices like the Alexi Lalases of the world, how outraged that they are, and the soccer community. So tonight, yeah, I'm going to be watching that tonight. I am. Jurgen Klinsmann is on the hot seat for our country. You end up losing in a match like that twice in 4 days to Guatemala? Then clearly there's something wrong. And it goes even deeper than that, that if our national team at the highest level cannot compete, because this is, you should be steamrolling Guatemala. I should not even have this as a topic on my show sheet today. This isn't even something I should have been prepping for last night, saying, okay, I got to talk about this, but I'm so upset and passionate about it that this is on the radar today. They've got to beat Guatemala in Columbus on our own soil tonight. And he's playing players out of position. Yeah, they ran into a hot goalie. It's the same thing as when you're in the NHL playoffs and you have a keeper who's all wound up and he stands on his head, as they like to say. But really, at the end of the day, it's Guatemala. You're at least the top. You should be a top five, top six, top 10, top 20, top 30. You're losing to a team that's almost 50th. And so tonight, that's going to be on my radar for sure. It's something clearly to take a look at, and I'll keep an eye on it. I watched some of the women's Final Four last night down to the Final Four. There's four girls that have played high school ball here in Arizona, and I've coached club ball here in Arizona, coached my daughters, coached my son. And Sydney Weiss, who's one of the players that I've coached against, she was at Oregon State. She was at Pinnacle High School. She was just a pain in my backside whenever we played against them. Even as a little runt, she was killing people, just killing people. Really good player. So I'm watching her last night. And that was great. And it's a point of pride. Our high school boys side, not so good recently. A lot of players leaving, changing addresses, changing states, going to prep schools, doing all sorts of things that have nothing good to do with Arizona. So I was pretty pleased to see four players on the girls' end at high school that have gotten to this point. Some of their stories are going to be up on the site this week. We're going to talk about the NFL draft on the other side. We'll do much more as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. It's pretty funny. I look up in the studio here, and we've got all these monitors here in our studios, and they're all doing the Jim Irsay story today. I mean, really, guys, when you think about it, this is one of the owners of a game that's got so much going on for it on the positive side that when you have somebody that says the risks of football are like taking aspirin, you just wonder, how do these guys get to this point? And if some of the other owners look around like, these guys are nuts. I've maintained through the years that most, not all, but most sports owners are nuts. Most of them are crazy. Most of them have no idea what they're doing with a sports franchise. They know how to make money in other fields, but most of them really don't have a concept or a clue of what it's, and maybe it's because early in my career, I worked with Donald Sterling, not for him, with him. When the Clippers were in San Diego, I had to be around Donald Sterling, just saw at a very early age, I saw things like their coach folding towels because he didn't want to hire somebody to do the laundry for the team. I saw some owners that, I'm not even going to give them the credit. I saw some owners that would do things like charge players dollar here, dollar there out of their paycheck for socks, change light bulbs out, every other light bulb to save money on cost. You see things like what we have right now with our NBA franchise. Robert's made a lot of money, but obviously he doesn't have any idea about what a basketball team is all about. Obviously, you don't go 6 years in a row and not make the playoffs and take down a very proud brand. If you really know what you're doing, that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Admire Robert for the money he's made, but this, again, is one of those situations where you have an owner that should not be in that position, at least in title, should not even be out there for people to see. I think Ken Kendrick has done a very good job, and there's been some controversial things that Ken has said and has done. But I think, by and large, Ken's a pretty good owner. Obviously, Jerry was the best owner that I've ever covered. And it's not even close. Not even close. So, you know, the Irsay story and people losing their minds over what one of these owners says, you can't be surprised by that. It's like Jerry Jones downplaying the concussion thing last week. You really shouldn't be surprised. It's just more humorous to me. Like, really? They're at this point? So the draft is in a month, switching gears. And yesterday, Laremy Tunsil did not run a 40. Is that going to take away from him being the number one pick in the NFL draft? Is it going to take away from him perhaps being traded to another franchise or the number one pick being traded away? But yesterday, the apparent number one pick this year, it's not a sexy draft. It's not a draft that has everybody panting and salivating. It's still important. It's still the draft. But when you're talking about a tackle being the first pick, by and large, I still think before we get all the way to draft day that we're going to see some team maneuver for the quarterbacks because that's what they always do. And I think Los Angeles, and I know this is fact from talking to the agents, the fact that Los Angeles has a new franchise, one of these quarterbacks is going to end up in Los Angeles with the Rams. One of them is going to. And that young man, whoever it is, doesn't matter where he's taken, doesn't matter if it's where the Rams currently sit or if they trade up, that young man is going to make so much money because he's going to be the first at that position in Los Angeles, the city of angels, the city of endorsements. So whether it's Paxton Lynch, and I think that's the one, his representative Lee Steinberg is right there in Newport Beach. Lee's been around the block more than a few times when it comes to taking quarterbacks and pushing them forward. It would not surprise me one bit if that's the direction he goes. Now, we had Lee on the show a couple weeks ago, and he told me that the Cardinals did meet with Paxton Lynch. and that they're interested in his client. Now, I don't know the level of interest. How much of that is an agent going through a media guy trying to stir up interest within a community and get everybody excited? I don't think that there's the push here to see a replacement for Carson Palmer yet. But I do think that if you talk to enough fans, they look around and say, what are we going to do when he's done? And there are some of those that are in the wagon of, yeah, great regular season quarterback, but because he's never done it in the postseason, that they do want to see that person come in. There are those. And these are some of the longtime diehard season ticket holders that have said, yeah, he'll get us there during the regular season, but he's not going to get us there in the postseason. So, you know, on the draft front, yeah, it's a tackle today. But I think with where you have these quarterbacks and how they're slotted in right now, where you could see one taken at 2 and one taken at 7, and where Lynch falls in as well, I think you could go through this quarterback, I'll call it the buildup, and by the time we get to the week of the draft, it wouldn't surprise me one bit to see somebody try to trade up all the way to the number one pick. And this is from the agent community to me, that this is what they're seeing as well. And I tend to trust them. From there, we're going to have Rashad Johnson here in about 10 minutes. Rashad left the Cardinals. So his dad is not in great health. And he's had a good run here in Arizona. And so I want to talk to him about all fronts and what the decision was to go to Tennessee. And also, what does he see out of the futures for Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson, other than the obvious that they're really good football players? You know, maybe it is. What do they need to do to refine themselves even further? So we're going to talk to Rashad Johnson here in a few minutes. I want to circle back on something that I put in my notes from last night. And when I put this show together, a lot of times it's based off of what I get from you in email and on social media. And, you know, just a general feel of what's going on out there. If I do another hour on a crazy owner around concussions, I'll bring it up quite a bit as I'm doing today. But if I do that, I'm not being true to you. And yesterday I had a long segment, very long segment by my standards, of the current situation involving sports franchises here in the Valley. Jerry Colangelo is going to be with us on the show tomorrow. And obviously with what's going on around town, the buildings are a big part of the conversation. And we'll see. I mean, Jerry may not want to talk about the Diamondbacks. It's fine. And I don't throw down any ground rules, but it may be something where we'll just see how that goes tomorrow. But he's going to be with us. So I got quite a bit of feedback from you yesterday on the Diamondbacks. Some of you didn't like my analogy of the biggest house and how you figure out after a while you don't need a house as big as, and yet you're making all this money. So let me try to drill down on that a little bit further for you today about where we are in our community. First of all, if you don't like teams moving, okay, if you don't like teams moving, and if you think that everything should just stay status quo, sorry to tell you, that's not going to be the case here in Phoenix, other than the football team out in the East Valley, the West Valley. Other than the football team in the far West Valley, that's it. The Coyotes are going to end up at Karsten Golf Course. When this is all said and done, the Coyotes and Arizona State are going to join together. I would be stunned if that didn't happen. It's that far down the road. The Diamondbacks, I would be stunned if they figured out a way that they wanted to stick around in downtown Phoenix. They're using what needs to be done at the ballpark as the reason for getting out. And it's not an excuse. The ballpark may look great to you on the outside, but when you have a facility as old as this one is, you could do one of two things. It's kind of like when people hear that Robert wants to get a new arena for the Suns. I get that. The footprint that U.S. Airways, America West, Talking Stick, whatever naming rights you want to have on it, whatever the downtown, and I don't get paid by any of them, so I'll just call it the arena downtown. The arena downtown that the Suns currently play in, the footprint of it, okay, just the footprint of the arena, is too small to do a major redo of the arena that needs to be done. You may say, well, that arena is just fine for me. I go in there. You're not there for 20 years. An event coming in, event coming out, concert coming in, circus coming in, game, ice. There is wear and tear when you tear things down and put them back up over and over and over. It's been a great arena. But it is time, I think, for a new one for the Suns. In the Diamondbacks, was it built too big? Well, I'm sure that I could find plenty of people that were part of the original Diamondbacks group that would say, no, they just didn't run it right. I don't know about that. So I would disagree with that. Even if the team were winning, okay, the novelty of the Diamondbacks back in 2000, 2001, 2002, after they won the World Series, let's not forget what happened. The housing market started to crash. And when the housing market started to go down, that took the buildup a completely different direction. And so when you go that direction of the buildup, fans were not willing to spend money to go to 81 baseball games a year. And this is not a passionate enough sports market to have fans go down game after game after game. I was sitting with a guy yesterday. He's well known in the Valley, big business guy. He has very good seats right behind home plate. He's been here forever. And he was complaining about how he may make it to 15 games this year. May, and probably sell off the rest of his tickets and make some money off of it. That's just where we are. So the building is never going to bring in 49, 50,000 a game, but you have to staff that building for that many people. Does that make sense? You can't just say, well, we're not going to put security up there. We're not going to open places to eat up there. We're not going to put cleaning crews up there. You're constantly going to be maintaining an area that really has no use. Again, back to your 5,000 square foot house. And so I think if you go in those terms and just think of the cost side of things, and that the Valley's population has changed. Anybody who doesn't want to accept that the population base, the bedrooms are being built in the Southeast Valley, just doesn't get it and doesn't want to see progress. The 101 and the 202 are the epicenter of the Valley. End of statement. And if you don't believe that the Rez is going to take the hammer to these teams and say, come here and come be on our land, I think you're really underestimating. Like, downtown is in for a fight to keep the Diamondbacks, in for a flat fight to keep them. And I don't, downtown would, when people say, well, Ken Kendrick is part owner of Cityscape, I don't think that matters. I don't think that matters. Because there's other areas they can go. Arizona State, Arizona can be downtown. This whole thing about, oh my gosh, they're moving. They're not moving out of state. They may move 10 miles to the east is not going to turn everything upside down. And somebody called me yesterday who lives in Atlanta. Very passionate. He said, you brought up the Braves. The Braves had to move because the Braves were in a dumpy, violent neighborhood. They had to get out of there. And he was explaining it to me. And all I could say was, yeah, you may be right, but it's progress. It's not progress if you're staying in a place where the attendance during the week is not coming to see your product Monday through Thursday. It's not progress. So I am with the Diamondbacks in theory of moving, okay? I don't know how it's going to be accomplished in terms of tax. I am not in favor of seeing them do it on a tax way. And I think they know better than that. So how do you do it? Well, what if the land is given to you by a certain tribe? And they've got the land, and they've got the vision, and they've got layouts, and they've sat with other sports franchises in town and said, come here. So keep an eye on all that. Rashad Johnson is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Joined now by Rashad Johnson, former Arizona Cardinal, going to the Tennessee Titans. This happened on Good Friday, so many of you may have missed it. I know the Cardinal fans probably pretty upset about this move because here's one of the leaders. Here's a guy that's been here through thick and thin. But this is more than just a football move from what I've read. And I wanted to get Rashad on the show with Brad Sismat. How are you?
Doing well. Doing good. How about yourself, Brad?
Doing great, Rashad. This is about your dad and football and business, I think, a little bit, but in order, right? It's dad first on this one?
Of course, yeah. I mean, family comes before anything. You know, and then when the opportunity presented itself to be able to go back home, closer to home, be closer to him and my family, you know, something that I couldn't pass on, you know. I would love to stay the Cardinal, but the option wasn't there. And then when that option wasn't there, you know, going home was my next priority.
When you say the option wasn't there, did Steve Keim close the door on you staying here?
I wouldn't say, I guess it was all his call. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was a collective call of the vision they had for the team moving forward. And, you know, I just so happened not to be in those plans. You know, and I understand the business side of it. You know, like I said, no harsh feelings towards those guys. I had a great career here. I enjoyed every minute of it. I learned a lot. These past 3 years, man, have been phenomenal. But, you know, the option wasn't there. And like I said, you know, when the option was closed, the next priority for me was how do I get home? And I was fortunate enough the Titans called me and really wanted me to be there.
And drill down a little bit further on your dad. He's had some health issues recently, right?
Yeah, last year, December, late in the season, just out of nowhere, they found a tumor on his pancreas, had to do a 13-hour procedure. He was hospitalized for a month and a half, almost 2 months, in and out of ICU. Just really some really dark moments there for myself and our family, especially me being here. I play on Sundays, and I would travel home, spend a little bit of time that I could spend with him, and then I would be back here, you know, for practice on Wednesday. And it was really a tough time, man. And, you know, when this opportunity came, it was like it was God sent, because my dad wanted me to be close to home. I wanted to be close to home. And he was so excited when I gave him the news, man. And that meant the world to me.
You know, if you look at Tennessee, and for you growing up, I mean, now you're closer to your beloved Crimson Tide. You can spread all
Tide.
You can spread all that nonsense of Roll Tide on all your teammates in the locker room there, right?
Of course, yeah. I mean, Nashville is, you know, it's ball country, so to say, but we have a lot of Crimson Tide fans there. I'm, you know, well-known around the area from my time in Alabama. So I'm looking forward to being back to my roots, back to where it all started. And, you know, like I said, I'm just fortunate enough that God would allow it to go full circle to where I can, you know, start off in Alabama and now being back close to there again. It just feels like, you know, the perfect scenario coming to this point of my career.
Talking with Rashad Johnson, he has left the Cardinals. He has agreed and signed with the Tennessee Titans. He joins us for a couple of minutes. This happened on Good Friday, rather. So y'all may have missed it. In terms of if I throw a name at you or you throw a name at me as to who made the biggest imprint on you here in Arizona to turn you into the player, who would that player or that person be?
Easy. Adrian Wilson. That's simple. He was a huge mentor in my life, not only as a player, but off the field as well. I still remember the day I was at home in Sullivan visiting my family, and Adrian called me after my rookie season and said, hey, you know, get on the flight. I'll see you in the gym on Monday. And, you know, when a five-time Pro Bowler, you know, calls you, you get up and you move, man. And when I showed up at the gym, he opened up everything, man. He showed me how to take care of my body. He introduced me to his doctors, the physicians, the massage therapists, the dietitians. I mean, he just really transformed my whole career from that point forward and just begin to give me the ins and outs. I mean, he gave me a hard time my first year here because I was a rookie, but mm-hmm. after that rookie season and I paid my dues, he opened up his arms, man, and welcomed me in as a brother. And I'll be forever, you know, grateful to him and owe him, you know, the world, man, for doing that for me, because, I mean, he actually, you know, catapulted my career and showed me what it meant to be a pro.
How good can Tyrann Mathieu be? Is he there yet?
He hasn't reached his peak, which is scary. To be as young as he is in his career, you know, candidate for Defensive Player of the Year last year, the sky's the limit for this guy, man. His intangibles on the field as a player are so great that once his mind catches up to, you know, the things that I try to give him mentally of preparing for the game and understanding the ins and outs of the game, I truly believe that this year coming up and these next couple of years is going to be the best years of his career, man. He can be, you know, defensive player of the year and a future Hall of Famer.
If you put your hands on the shoulders of Patrick Peterson and look him square in the eyes, you're walking away from this organization, going to your new chapter, what would you tell him?
I would just tell him thank you, man. I would tell him thank you for being, you know, a true friend and a true brother to me. We've grown through the years. I mean, when Patrick came in, we weren't good. We've seen, you know, people get cut out of the secondary, people get moved on from the secondary, and me and him have spent a long 5 years together, and I would just tell him thank you. And I would tell him, you know, go get it this year.
How close is this to being a Super Bowl team in your view?
Very close. I mean, you know, we're a game away from the ultimate goal of being there, and a game that we didn't play up to par. A lot of guys that's coming back into this locker room, core guys are still there. I know the hunger is still there. And, you know, I think they made, you know, some good moves this offseason as well, and some of the additions that they did make of bringing Chris Johnson back and, you know, bringing in Evan Mathis, a veteran guy on the offensive line. I mean, I think this team is very close, and, you know, with Bruce Arians at the head of it, you know what I mean, they can be right back in that same position to go and grab, you know, that NFC Championship and be where they want to be.
Well, I have to tell you, you always handled your business the right way with media and in the locker room, before, after games, all that stuff. I mean, you've been a true pro here. We wish you nothing but the best in Tennessee. Appreciate the visit.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You guys have a good day.
It's Rashad Johnson with us there. Going to Tennessee, and that's one of those things where you look at it and you say, dad's health and things along those lines and priorities. And if the organization felt like they needed to get younger at that position, then that's business. That is business in the NFL. He had a great run here and handled himself as a true pro. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now at Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona centric, high school, college, pro. Blogs, videos, all sorts of stuff. Thanks for being with us.